the form that his master had used. It could have been sheer literary contrivance from the very beginning. It just may have been his particular style. Slowly but surely, though, over the long period of time when Plato wrote, his works become more and more straightforward treatises with the dialogue element almost absent, and sometimes indeed absent completely. Now, there are some things that are a bit controversial about Plato's writings. We could go on at great length about these things, actually. I want to just notice briefly some of the controversies that surround Plato's writings. First and foremost, how much of Plato is Socrates, and how much of Plato is Plato? The honest answer is that we'll never know. My inclination is to say the early Platonic dialogues, the Apology, for example, the remarkable discussion of Socrates' trial before an Athenian jury, there's probably a lot of Socrates there. And slowly but surely, I think it's safe to say, the dialogues become Plato himself, and they are no longer really his teacher. But we're never really going to know. Second, did Plato use the Socratic elenchus, or did he formulate positive doctrine of his own? Now, we never see Plato, as it were, wandering around the Athenian agora questioning people. But the elenchus can be a public rhetorical art or a private one that's put on the page. The point here, quite simply, is Plato sort of always playing defense? Is he defending against positions of other thinkers, other philosophers, other writers, and in a sense showing what's wrong with them without actually formulating a positive doctrine of his own? Or does he actually lay out his own ideas? My inclination there is to say he does both. But finally, there is more of the latter than of the former. Finally, and we can put this one paradoxically, was Plato a Platonist? You all think I've taken leave of my senses. You think, of course Plato was a Platonist. What else would he be? Well, you see, the question is important for this reason. Did Plato have a systematic approach to knowledge, a systematic approach to ideas? Is there a kind of a red thread that runs through his thought? There a kind of a Platonism that underlies, that undergirds, that's the foundation on which all of what Plato said is built? Or is Platonism something that is actually developed by those in later times who commented on Plato? The people who analyzed Plato, did they reassemble and repackage his thought? Did they find order and system there which Plato had not built in the first place? In other words, was Platonism invented after Plato, or was Platonism indeed invented by Plato himself? My inclination there is to say that, once again, I'm really pretty wimpy, that both things are true. There is a certain core of ideas that are unquestionably Plato's. There is also a systematizing of those ideas that is clearly attributable to those who came after him. All right. Now, in general terms, I think what we can try to do is understand Plato's theories of knowledge and of morality. Remember, he's asking these two big areas of questions. What's going on out there in the world, and how can we know about it? And what's the moral life? What's the best life to live? Now, I've said Plato wrote a very great deal. We could talk about many more things. But I'm just going to pursue these two issues a little bit, partly to see what Plato said about them, and partly to get a feel for how Plato went about his business, how he actually worked his way through problems philosophically. So first of all, then, let's turn to the world out there and how Plato understands how we're going to think about the world out there, how we're going to talk about knowledge, and how we're going to talk about communication. In his Republic, Plato said, "We are accustomed to posit some one form concerning each set of things to which we apply the same name." The form is the very thing to which the name is applied. Now, if that sounds abstract and difficult to grasp, think of it this way. If you're in a position where you can do so, look at a chair. Now, ask yourself, if you have in any other room of your house or your office, wherever you might be, another chair that looks just like that. Is there a chair just like that in your neighbor's house? Is there a chair just like that in your colleague's office? Have you ever seen a chair like that before? Is there a chair like that in your grandmother's house? Okay, so all these things are chairs, right? But they're all different. So what is it that makes them chairs? You might say, oh, well, because you can sit on them. Well, I could sit on a table. That's not a chair. I can sit on the ground. That's not a chair. So a functional answer won't help us. So I see all of these objects, and somehow my mind says, chair. And we don't have any problem with that. And yet these things are all really quite different. Well, what I have in mind is the form, is the idea that lurks behind all of these visible things in the tangible world that we speak of as, in this instance, chairs. All right, that's really what is involved, okay? The form is invisible. It's grasped by thought. It's grasped in the mind. Its relation to the named thing is as original to copy. The Greek word charakter is a very interesting word. Now, you think of someone's character. This is the imprint of their soul. This is what they really are. But charakter in Greek is, for example, the very word you would use if, suppose, I had a die, and I put a flat piece of metal on it, and I put the upper die over it, and I struck it to make a coin.